人给他做出来。
Thank you and good evening. Welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for October 11th, 2016. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hanford, Rasmussen, and Kim.
Thank you. Councilmember Ketteback contacted me earlier this evening and advised me that she would not be here this evening. She's got something going on with family coming. And Councilmember Davis mentioned that he would not be here at a prior meeting. And Councilmember Gamble mentioned, called me today and advised me that he'd be at least a half hour late. So without objection, we'll go ahead and consider all of them excused. Okay. Councilmember Gamble was to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I have decided to invite Ms. Hendrickson to come forward and lead us in the pledge if she'd like to do that. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right, the first item that we have on the agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations, and this is the confirmation of Parks Board appointment. I'm opening it up, sorry. Okay, so I interviewed two people for the Parks Advisory Board last week. Again, we had two very, very qualified, very, very good applicants. Very difficult decision. The person that I am appointing and requesting your confirmation is Mr. James Yap. He lives over in the Frylands, and he happens to work for Snohomish County Parks and Recreation, where he is a project manager and does parks projects for the county. So he brings not only having, I think, been one of the original, I think he was the first owner of his house where he is in the Frylands, and Councilmember Rasmussen, he lives over close to where you live. Not only has he lived here, I think, the first owner of his house from the mid-90s, but he also has a lot of experience to bring from different positions where he's worked in for parks departments. He has a background as a landscape architect, and so I'm presenting him this evening for your consideration for confirmation. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I'll make a motion to move to confirm the mayor's appointment, James Yap, to the Monroe Parks Board.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough to confirm the mayor's appointment of James Yap to the Monroe Parks Board. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
My eye was on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go for it. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I would just, as usual, I just wanted to know if there was any others that that know of Mr. Yap and can speak for for him at all.
I know that Mr. Farrell was in the interview, so go ahead and
okay.
As a staff person, I have worked with Mr. Yap in the past with various projects involved Snohomish County Parks and Monroe Parks, and he's an outstanding professional. I've known that he's been a member of our community, so I didn't believe that he's in the Frylands area.
Yep.
Okay, so you concur with the recommendation then?
I do.
Perfect. That's all I wanted.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Well, I'm just curious, so has he worked with the city on any projects? Has he worked with the city on anything?
Yes.
In his professional capacity?
Yes. The initial development of the Fairfield Park, before it was developed.
Right.
Very well worked with the city on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything further? Okay, we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 1-2-3-4-0. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet. Has anybody signed in? All right. Would anybody like to come forward to speak to the Council this evening? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda as listed. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda comes under new business. This is new business item number 1, AB 16134, 2017 budget presentation of general and internal service funds. Ms. Nelson.
Oh, you've already moved. Good, because I was about to say, to blind you a little bit here.
Councilmember Scarborough, if you'd like, you can certainly move over here.
Okay. You've got your pick of seats today.
Okay, tonight we're going to talk about just the general fund, the contingency fund, and the internal service funds. Next week we'll be talking about the utilities and the CIP and special revenue funds. But the general fund, that's the biggie. That's the one that we, that's the one we deal with the most, because it's just about all of the city operations, not capital, but or utility, but operations, except for street maintenance. It's our biggest fund. It's the main focus of the budget process, and it's generally tax dollars funded. For the general fund, 2015-11 budget, we have revenues of $13 million, operating expenditures of $13 million, and one-time project expenditures of $321,000. That $321,000 represents $86,000 transferred to the sick leave fund and $172,000 transferred to the street CIP fund for improvements from use of property tax bank capacity. The revenues for the general fund pretty much are shows in this pie chart. So we're sales tax city. That's our biggest revenue source is sales tax, which is a volatile sales tax stream, but that's what we rely on. And the other two are property tax and utility tax. Generally, those two are about the same. Usually, they're both 17%. This particular budget proposes a use of some bank capacity, which bumps the property tax from 17% up to 20% on our pie chart of revenues. After that, you see that we have charges for services that 7%. That's our what we charge for zoning fees, plan fees, and the biggies are the interfund transfers, interfund charges for accounting and administrative and legal services are the big streams, and that charges for where we charge the utilities and the other funds for our general services. So I'm going to quick talk about the three main revenue streams. The property tax revenues estimated to be $2.5 million in this budget. The preliminary budget does not utilize that 1% tax increase that we're allowed to use every year. We've never used it since I've been here. Total levy increases from last year's levy are the $33,000 from new construction that's come on the tax rolls and the $484,000 use of bank capacity in the property tax. We have a little over $1 million in bank capacity, so that leaves us with about 600 some odd, 650 left in bank capacity that we are not utilizing in preliminary budget proposal. Sales tax. Sales tax we're expecting to be next year $5.4 million, and it's broken down as shown there, $400,000 for the sales tax that voters voted for public safety purposes. $285,000 comes to us from the county from their sales tax for criminal, and we have to use it on criminal justice purposes. And that's through state legislation that we get that. And $4.7 is just our general sales tax that comes in, and that's for general operations. Now, we do have that added sales tax for the TBD, the Transportation Benefit District. That does not go into the general fund. We put that over into an agency fund because the TBD is a separate entity from the city. So that's why it does not, it's not reflected in our general fund budget here. And so I just made a little note down there. We're expecting it to be about $1 million next year, and we're putting it in a separate fund, and then we're going to transfer about $850,000 into the streets for street projects. And so I just, when I'm talking, I have that final bullet there about the TBD only because I'm talking about sales tax here, but it has no impact on the general fund. And it's not included in that $5.4 million there. Stop me at any time if you have any questions. Utility tax revenue, we're estimating that to be $2.2 million. That's an increase of about 5% from this year. And the revenue increases when we have growth in the city, more utilities, more people using utilities, and when utility rates go up, like if PUD increases their rates, or Puget Power, or the telephone companies, if they increase their rates, our tax goes up because our taxes on their gross. Next revenue group would be planning and building fees. We look at this a lot because this is also very volatile with the economy, and when things are good, these revenues are very good. And conversely, when things are bad, they're non-existent. So building permit fees, you can see the difference there. We're budgeting $300,000, the same as 2016, but we are expecting 2016 to come in at $500,000. And then we're not sure if 2017 is going to be as great with the building permit fees as 2017, and we tend to budget conservatively. Planning and zoning fees, we're budgeting $30,000. We're expecting 2016 to come in at $70,000. And then building plan check fees, we're budgeting $160,000. We're expecting it to come in just under $300,000 at the end of this year. There's a cycle with planning and building. Like you get all the money coming in, and then you have to work on them for a while, and then you get a new wave of them. So it just depends on how the waves come in, how fast. It's a lot of it is a guessing game because you have to guess when you think builders are going to come in with your permits.
Ms. Nelson, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Can you explain again about the planning and zoning fees, why there's such a significant difference from your $50,000 budget, $70,000 year-end estimate, or still going down by $20,000 from the original 16 budget?
Do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Councilmember Camp, I think there's two explanations. One is I might actually be a little more conservative than our finance director in doing the estimates, but two, the planning and zoning fees tend to be more front-loaded. Okay. So if we already have a lot of plat applications in process right now, we've probably collected a lot of those planning and zoning fees for the developments that are taking place right now. Okay. So if I'm anticipating a little bit less or fewer plat applications next year, then the number for that budget number will go down. So a lot of those $70,000 are in play right now, and so plats that are being processed right now. So
is this just a normal cycle, or are you seeing some sort of indicator that we're going to have a slowdown in growth or something?
The main indicator I'm seeing or thinking about in terms of planning and zoning, we need to run out of land. If you saw that map that was part of the attachment a few meetings ago, there's a lot of property already in play. We know what's coming in. There may very well be more plats in addition to what we anticipate coming in which case that $30,000 could go up.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, general fund expenditures. As you can see, public safety is our biggest expenditure. That includes police, jail fees, dispatch, and a quarter of our emergency management services. After that, you have planning, and then parks, and then admin and city clerk, and then finance, and then a bunch of little ones. But mainly, I think this tells the story pretty clear. You know, public safety is our biggest priority, and that's where we put all our money. Well, that's where we put 61%. Okay. Personnel. In the 2017 budget, there are proposed three new positions, three new full-time employees, an accountant, a park supervisor, and a planning technician / code enforcement position. And I believe these three were all discussed when we were doing our financial plan. planning talking earlier in the year when we were talking to council about it. And so hopefully it's not a surprise. The rest are all the just assumptions that we made for other personnel costs as far as all the insurance and the premiums that we have to pay, what we guess that they're going to go up. And then I don't have any COLAs listed because right now Ben is currently in active negotiations with the Teamsters, so I can't tell you how much money we have to pay for COLAs because we don't want to give away our negotiating position. And that's basically the changes in personnel that you see or that are being proposed for next year.
Councilmember Kim.
Thank you. The additional, the 3% change in property taxes, that covers everything here?
Yes, yes.
And so it's those three positions, the accountant, the park supervisor, the planning tech, and a little bit of additional
$172,000 for street or transportation.
That because it's general fund money, it's more flexible, so that goes into the general fund, and we're using that as part of funding other things next year, like transportation improvements and a zoning code update, that kind of stuff. So we've got a few one-time things that we're doing next year that $170,000 sort of offsets other general fund money that we would have used to get those projects done.
Okay, and, but the 10% increase in the L&I,
that's all.
Everything's covered by
that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a completely balanced budget, yeah.
Councilmember Scarborough?
Well, Teamster Union currently in negotiations. We don't want to give up our position on what we have to give right now, or hold. But the next three, 10% increase in L&I, 10% increase there, 10% increase in dental and insurance, and this is all a given?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, just a few items of note that are in the 2017 preliminary budget is, again, we are doing the $15,000 grant to the senior center for their transportation program that we've done this last few years. There is $25,000 appropriated in the main for the downtown Main Street program, and there's $30,000 appropriated for downtown furniture replacement, and $3,000 grants for downtown events. When people, you know, say the chamber, someone needs to close, pay the cost for closing Main Street for an event or something.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
I have to ask this since I'm usually in charge of furniture. What furniture downtown is being replaced?
Mike?
Sure. So that would be the benches, trash cans, bicycle racks.
Mm-hmm. Just within that, the central core area?
Yeah, Main Street. There, we'll get together with the Downtown Monroe Association and businesses to get some input from the folks down there as far as type and what and where and that sort of thing.
Right. So when you say replacement, you're replacing existing objects as opposed to additional. I attended the DMA meeting last night, so I was just curious if there were additional items or furniture that would be added to the downtown.
Yeah, that budget, if say fully expended with those types of items, we probably would have more furniture than what exists there. So we have the ability to do a little bit more, but we have to determine really what's needed and wanted downtown.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just to let you know, we were talking this evening, just, you know, with PD and also the mic about, you know, do we want benches? Do we want to do something different? So it's a placeholder, and as Mike pointed out, Mr. Farrell pointed out, we'll work with our partners in the downtown, and it may be that we have additional appropriation authority that, you know, that we can shift to something else in the downtown or just under expend. So. It's the Gumby colored furniture out there that the green furniture. Anything further, Councilmember? Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. You know, just out of curiosity, with the furniture and their hope of eventually continuing our art down there in downtown, could the art possibly be considered furniture? Is that something totally different?
Yeah. So one of the things that we were talking just before this meeting that.
if Mike finds that, if Mr. Carroll finds that the actual expenditure is $20,000 or $15,000, we'll have the ability to come back to council and talk about whether or not you want to do another art program next year. One of the reasons why I didn't, why I'm not proposing more art next year is that this is the first year that we've done it this last year, and I think it would be good to have some experience with it for a year to see if that's something that we want to continue doing. What do we learn from it? Do we need an alligator boat? That kind of stuff. So, you know, I thought, let's go ahead and give it a year. Let's experience it before we add another one into the budget. But certainly, yeah, if this is flexible enough and we can always bring these things back to council, it is your prerogative to make adjustments to that. So if you want to do a sculpture even right now, you can line item that out, or we can bring it back after we do the actual expenditure for the furniture.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. $3,000 grant for downtown events.
So we enacted.
Sorry.
So we enacted at the beginning of this year, or actually at last year, this program to encourage events in the downtown with the street sweep improvements and whatnot, and we've lined out that amount for this year, and we have one entity this year that's taking us up on it, so we'll be expending or reimbursing them $3,000. And I would expect that with the growth and what I've heard in the community and different organizations is that we will likely extend probably $2,000 or $3,000 out of that fund.
So what kind of expenditure do you expect the entity to use this money for?
That's to cover the costs that the city charges for the road closures.
Okay, that's what
we want to do, to encourage those events.
Okay.
And the genesis of that is that last year the Chamber of Commerce pointed out to me that they do a lot of events in the downtown. There are other organizations that do that too. And one of the things that we used to do is we used to pay for the closures, or we used to have volunteers, some staff go out there and take care of the closures. The Chamber will actually do the closure and everything, but things are more complicated here because we've got a state route and all this other stuff out at Main and Lewis. So by doing this, it allows us to have city employees go out on overtime or what have you to close the street and then reopen it when the event's over. So it's a way of us partnering for things they're doing for us.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Councilmember Hanford.
This is the Christmas tree lighting part of that downtown event, or is that?
That's a Chamber event.
Okay.
We don't pay for it.
Okay.
But if they decided to close the street, they could apply for a grant. Councilmember Rasmussen?
So that is primarily strictly for street closures, then, the 3,000?
We don't want to restrict it to that, but that was the intent.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. Ms. Nelson.
Okay, the ending fund balance in the general fund. We're projecting that we'll have an ending fund balance of $140,000. We meet our reserve policies with the 2.2 for restricted per emergencies. The 321 is, we keep track of the sales tax that's collected for public safety purposes, and whatever doesn't get spent, we keep it separate just to make sure that as we spend it in the future, it's spent on public safety and not on other things. And then, so that gives you a total ending fund balance of $2.7 million. Which is healthy. It's an appropriate amount. It's not too much, it's not too little. The contingency fund, we're expecting to have an ending fund balance of a little over $1 million. In that $1 million is a transfer from the solid waste fund of $788,000, and that's due to the contract negotiated changes with Republic Services that we get to close out the solid waste fund and move that money over. The contingency fund will be, after that transfer, fully funded per the reserve policy, because if you recall, we had spent down that fund, and so with this preliminary budget, gets it right back where it should be per the reserve policy.
Yeah, and before I call on Councilmember Hanford, this is something that I thought long and hard about. When you're looking at $1 million coming in, there are a lot of projects that we could do parts of.
There are a couple projects we could do all of, but when I stepped back and looked at it in a very objective way, council had adopted a policy to fully fund the contingency unless it had an adverse impact on operations and maintenance. And so it made sense to use this one-time funding to fully fund contingency. Some of the nice things about this, one, first, it's following what council had adopted previously. Two, it preserves this money for other things. And as you know, one of the reasons why the contingency is there is in case a great opportunity comes up, you're able to match dollars over the course of the year next year. The third thing that I noted is that we do have a payment coming due for North Kelsey in 2018. And the $1 million that you're looking at right there, if it's still in contingency in 2018, could be used toward that $1.3 million payment in 2018. So it's like an added insurance policy, and then there's money in the North Kelsey Fund that could be tapped also to make that payment in 2018. So while we continue to aggressively market and sell property, while we're continuing to do that work, we do have a backup that doesn't require us to, right now, we do have a backup. So that's what you're looking at there, and that's all I wanted to add. Councilman Binford.
I like the approach. The question I have is, do you remember the last time the contingency fund was fully funded? I want to say 4 years ago?
3 years, yeah, 3-4 years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good to see that fully funded again. Thanks.
And you'll notice also that was $788,000. The other couple $100,000 went into, again, one-time money went into the general fund, which helped to bolster the ending fund balance for next year. So rather than looking at $30,000 or what, $178,000 or so currently for the ending fund balance.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, the following slides are on individual departments in the general fund and the internal service funds. And each department's going to come up and just give you the highlights of their work plan of this year and next year, so you can, in case you have any questions about their plan. And municipal court are the lucky ones to go first.
Good evening, everybody. So, as you see, last year we had talked about wanting to implement the video court. We did that. I think that has saved a tremendous amount of time and hopefully some dollars for the police department with regard to transporting of prisoners and overtime for officers to do that. From my perspective also, it's simply safer because we don't have to be transporting individuals. They are there at the jail. They're in a controlled environment, and so we don't have any issues of escapes or car accidents or other things like that to worry about. We did increase the number of days by half a day every other week, which has been working out pretty well. We're finding that we have a lot of citizens sitting around waiting for us to make it through the fairly heavy criminal calendar to get to the infractions calendar. And this way, people come in for their infractions, they're handled, and it usually works fairly expeditiously. And I think that that's been received really well by the community. We are trying to work on a number of different programs. I'll jump down to for our goals. Alternative sentencing, we are running into a situation, touched on it I think last year, one of the meetings we had about how our Supreme Court has been really reacting to a number of studies that have been done with regard to fines and the impact on indigent individuals, and they've been reversing a lot of decisions by a lot of the lower courts. And so we're trying to work out a way that we can do our sentencing where we can still impose some of the fines and costs that are incurred, but give people alternative means of paying for them. So doing community service, getting their GEDs, we've been working on that. But also looking at some of the other programs that are out there to see if there's something that can work with our community to kind of achieve that end goal, which is the, you know, the benefit to the community of having the report is the benefit to the community of having people actually taken out of the system and stopping the influx of crime. Monroe is a great place to live and to work. It's a better place if you're not dealing with people car prowling, shoplifting, kicking in your doors or otherwise. And so that's, you know, that's the end goal, is to make these people out, take them out of the system where we are here, and get them back in as productive members. So looking at a whole lot of different alternatives that are out there, still haven't come up with one that I really like. So we might have to create our own. That's it, unless there's any questions about anything with the parks.
Are there any questions for Judge Rosano?
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, community development is the next department. That's you, Dave.
Mayor, council members, I think last year when I gave this presentation, I described community development in terms of four buckets, and I'm just going to use those same buckets as an analogy again. In terms of our core services, one is permitting. That includes land use permitting and building permitting, pre-application meetings, meeting customers at the counter. A second bucket would be planning policy, which is like a comprehensive plan and amending the zoning code. A third bucket would be economic development, working with businesses, business recruitment, marketing, and information. And then the fourth bucket or function of our department, I think, is code enforcement. And so of those four buckets, they're equally important, but I would say that first bucket, in terms of permitting, drives a lot of our workload in our department, because in terms of permitting, for example, the land use permits that you see, we are under state law required to process those permits within certain timelines. And when you have those types of permits that come in, we need to give those a top priority. So the theme for 2016, I think, is that that first bucket, that permitting bucket, kind of ran over. I mean, it was pretty significant, still is significant. You as a council saw it, because this year in 2016, you've actually approved four final plats, and you've looked at two preliminary plats and approved those. Last week, the hearing examiner held another hearing on a preliminary plat. Next week, we have another hearing on a preliminary plat. Hearing examiner recommendations on those two plats will come to the council sometime this year, so that's pretty active. A couple other analogies, building permit fees. Diane showed that the estimate for 2016 for building permit fees was $500,000 at the end of September. We're already there. We're at $498,000. And that $498,000 for permit year-to-date permit fees exceeds the building permit fees collected in 2014 and 2015 combined. And then for single-family dwellings, and I think I've used this analogy before, we're at 93 single-family dwelling permits issued through September 2016, and that exceeds the total number of single-family dwelling permits that have been issued for 2014 and 2015 combined. So the development activity in the city is very, very active. So in 2016, in terms of accomplishments, permit processing has been very active. We processed a contract with a company to do building inspection services as backup because we just have, we're not in a position right now to really account for vacations. We need to bring on consultant help to do building inspections, and I appreciate the council support for that contract approval this year. We had to do a couple of things. We had to adopt new state building code requirements, which is done every 3 years, and then we also had to do, under state law, we had to do an impact fee deferral ordinance by September 1 of this year, and that was done a couple of months ago as well. Having said that, we're still able to spend some time on some other items this year. Permit processing is a key item. Earlier this year, we held a stakeholder meeting with developers to talk about what their priorities were for permit process improvements here at the city. The top three improvements were anything you can do in terms of code or processes to reduce timelines. Second priority was your forms and aligning your forms with your code requirements. And the third was permit processing software. In terms of that first item, again, appreciate the council support because you passed, you amended your council rules just to allow for one reading for final plats. And then we have this year actually updated all of our building permit forms and all of our land use forms to make them more clear and more aligned with what the actual code requires. And then 2016, earlier in the year, East Monroe Hearing Board decision, and we spent a fair amount of time in the balance of this year responding to that hearing board order. For 2017, our work program, the goal is we're hoping that first bucket stays pretty full with development activity. We're hoping to get some balance in some of those other buckets. So obviously permit processing is going to be a key function of our department. Development regulations, the city council adopted a new comprehensive plan at the end of last year, and one of the goals for this year was to amend our development regulations to better align our regulations with the vision of the comprehensive plan. We just haven't gotten to it this year, and we hope to get to it for 2017. Permit process improvements are still going to be ongoing. We have two ordinances that we ran through the Planning Commission last night just as drafts. One of them reduces timelines for like appeals. A second one eliminates certain code sections because, to me at least, they seem to be code provisions that just don't even, they're just redundant and aren't even needed anymore. So we'll be bringing those through the Planning Commission to the council sometime next year. Economic development will still be an item we'll focus on. And then, as you saw, one of the ads, the potential ads for next year would be a planner code enforcement officer so that we can focus and get more focused on code enforcement, the processes, do enforcement, but also do education in hopes that people understand the codes. Because I think a lot of people don't even realize they're violating codes. And if we do better education up front, then hopefully we can avoid a lot of the enforcement actions we need to take. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Code enforcement. So how, I guess I'm confused about what you're planning for the future as opposed to what we're doing right now.
Right now we have a code enforcement officer in the police department who handles certain types of code enforcement, mainly nuisances, animal control.
Okay.
In community development or planning in general, there are certain code requirements that we need to deal with. It could be illegal buildings.
Right.
It could be people living in trailers. It could be sheds that have been put up violating setback requirements. Also, I envision this individual to help on business license enforcement, businesses that are in the city that are operating without businesses. Sign code enforcement, items like that.
So you say those are not being enforced now, or just limited enforcement?
They're being enforced right now, but as I said last year, to some extent, it's almost who picks up the phone is the one that has to deal with that particular item. We don't have a point of contact for these particular items, and we need to do a little better job, admittedly, about documenting them, what actions were taken on what day, and follow up on items like that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Just to clarify, that's the third personnel person that we talked about a few slides back.
Yeah, the code enforcement and planning.
Thanks.
And so the please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble came into chambers at 7:42. So the position being split between code enforcement and planning tech allows them, when there aren't any code enforcement issues, they can work on processing permits and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anything further? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next up is the police department.
Well, 2016, you can see that actually we started in 2015, but we fully implemented the New World technology from our dispatch center. We also did a pilot test program and implementation of two body cameras, and we are intent upon moving on with this after the first of the year. We have purchased five body cameras, and we have an agreement from the police guild to use the body cameras. One of the reasons we went are using body cameras is it benefits both the citizens and it benefits the police officers too. They just did a study in California on a city that has 110 officers, and 80% of them have wear body cameras, and their complaints on police officers have dropped by 93%. And it's, like I said, it benefits not only citizens, but it benefits the police officers too. We're in the latest or the end stage of developing a 5-year strategic plan. We should have that done by the end of this year. We also are increasing our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Nextdoor social media pages. And this year we did, for the first time, the Wings and Wheels event, which is benefits Special Olympics. Some of you had the, or some of you attended that out at the airport, and it was a very, it exceeded our expectations, and we will be doing that again next year. In 2017, our challenges are, of course, to develop a homeless assistance program, more than what we have right now. We have a tremendous a problem with homeless individuals. There's many facets to this problem, everything from drug use to mental illness, and just plain being homeless. And we plan on working in improving our assistance program that we have this year. And also we will be implementing our strategic plan in 2017.
Thank you. And I just want to clarify the homeless assistance program. A couple of you might have heard the term the embedded social worker in other jurisdictions. The intent of this program is not necessarily to have exactly that here, but to have some mechanism, some sort of way to provide for reliable assistance for people in those sorts of situations. And this is not specifically in the budget as of yet. Just as the budget was coming due, we were still doing research on this, and I didn't want to just put in a placeholder. I figured I could do a placeholder for benches in the downtown, you know, so to speak. But this is one that I wanted to understand what the program would look like, because it is a difference in policy than what we do right now. So the chief will be meeting with different potential partners over the next couple weeks, and we would be bringing in more information a little bit later in the budget process, and probably have that as an amendment to what you're looking at right now when we get more information about what that looks like. Thank you. Councilor Rasmussen?
Thank you, and that actually answers my question. And just to tag on, certainly look forward to hearing more about that, because I know we all know how much of an important topic that is, so okay. Certainly love to.
And I need to underscore also that our police department is already doing a lot of this today. We don't call it community policing here, but it is community policing that we do here. Our police department is very much out in the public doing all sorts of PR things as part of helping to build public safety here. And you will have received an email that I sent you this morning. I received an email at 4 a.m. this morning from somebody who was helped by two of our officers. And if you haven't seen that, I encourage you to take a look at your email. He was somebody that in his email to me said that he had been living at the river for about 28 years, that he was addicted, and that one of our officers had helped him out. He now lives in a house and has his own car and everything, and he had just reached out to me to thank me and ask me to thank the officer and his partner. So I forwarded that to the chief this morning, and then after thinking about it, I thought, I really need to let you all know that too. So we are doing these things right now. We do have very strong partnerships here in our community with groups like Take the Next Step and Project Hand Up, Help Up, I'm forgetting the name of it. Okay. And we also have a lot of agencies here in town that help out. What we're looking at here is trying to find a way to provide for reliable assistance so that if something happens, so that we can kind of track these cases and actually sort of follow up on a regular basis to help move people from that cycle of us arresting them for drug possession. They go to the jail. They get released the next day. They then come into court, and they're not quite breaking that cycle. We want to find a way to help people break that cycle. So that's what we're trying to do here. this, by doing things like this, it helps to reduce our overall costs in the long run, because you have the same dozen or couple dozen people that keep going around and around. We're paying for bills at the jail and court costs and everything, and that's, you know, that's not healthy for the bottom line, but it's also not healthy for our city. And then lastly, when they are addicted to drugs, it is the demand, right? If you think of it like a business, it is the demand that helps keep it helps keep illicit drugs being sold out of homes and in neighborhoods here in our community. So it's to me, this is something important, and it's important enough that we make certain we get it right, which is why I just did not put a placeholder in the budget as of yet. So thank you very much, Chief, for working on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Parks and Recreation is the next department.
So, Parks and Recreation, we maintain 240 acres of parks and 10 miles of trails, and that will include growing a little bit with the new roundabout landscape when that's transferred over, the maintenance of those pieces as well to us. We've supported events bringing over 600,000 people and approximately $26 million in economic revenues to our community. And this speaks to our involvement in economic or tourism that brings in a positive economic impact on our community. This includes events not only that we host, but also that we promote. And we recognize that the fairgrounds is an integral part of our community. Earlier, you may recall earlier this year, I participated, as well as other organizations and businesses in our community, in the Rural Tourism Workshop series that was put on by the Snohomish County. And through that, there were a lot of connections made, you know, among partners and communities in the valley and businesses as well. So, you know, it just opens new opportunities to continue to try new events that have that impact on our community. And also, I'm participating in the Skyder Sound River Trail Coalition, which has another benefit in that it'll draw visitors to our part of the county and our part of the state. Volunteer programs, 1,000 plus service hours, donations via that $10,000. That's like, you know, materials that we've had donations in kind, cash donations from a lot of entities. They sponsor some ongoing new programs. We've got some Eagle Scout projects. We've had some nice additions in the parks. So that's been something that we continue to do, and we're actually really excited about kicking off the Boys and Girls Club with Adopt a Park. They've committed to adopting Sky River Park, so it'll be a regular, ongoing volunteer program that we're excited to initiate with them. So some of the, you know, the highlights, other highlights of this past year is the skate park renovation was completed with the state grant funding, so we're excited about that in the community, and really just love to see all the people just enjoying that new facility. County grants were awarded for new event fencing and tourism branded street pole banners, and we've ordered the new portable performance stage. And then there's the new downtown art sculpture, Wagner Swifts, that's being created now and should be installed in November, so pretty excited about that too. So then new for 2017, we have some big projects ahead. Playground renovation, we've mentioned that before, for Lake Tide Park. The realignment of that entry to Fairfield Park in partnership with Snohomish County Parks. Master planning of the cabin pit site. And we've got master planning in Lake Tide Park based on some past discussions with council that we've had in recent weeks. And we are also going to design a synthetic turf upgrade at Lake Tide Park.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. The realignment of the entry to Fairfield Park, is that committed? Will we have a total buy-in from Snohomish County for next year?
Yes, We've been touching bases with them, and yes, there have been years of delays and issues to work through. They have been working through some issues with probably not only on their side with funding, but also with the property acquisition and whatnot. But it does appear that this will occur in 2017.
Because I have some soccer parents who will let them know.
And from the city, as you know, we've been very, very eager to get this going. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Councilmember Gamble.
And then the love seeing the last bullet, the design synthetic turf field upgrade, conjunction with our lobbying efforts for grant money in that. The design on that, are we also, as we're looking for the turf field upgrade, but also keeping in mind if we were to light
the park?
Yeah. Okay, because I'm sure we wouldn't want to rip it up to the conduit and all that. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That's great. No. Love seeing that. I know that, right now the youth football has been using it, and we've been, thank you for that, by the way, brother, the having the lights on site, and every night I'm out there, I just envision, a turf field, and then, the being the lighting as we get into these winter sports for these kids, field availability with lighting is just such an issue, so.
Thank you. Anything further? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we're going to talk about the internal service funds, and we have three of them. There's the IT InfoTech Fund, Fleet and Equipment Fund, and the Facility Management Fund. I just want to say, in past years, Council has adopted policies about how these funds should be cost allocated to other funds and what their reserves should be. So these three funds are pretty much driven by policy. The way the programs are set and what we do, we have replacement schedules, and it's all set by policy. And the idea of this is that these are vital functions, and so that we, rather than as the economy fluctuates and goes up and down, and rather than having to see, oh no, we need a new car and we can't afford one, and this gives us a long-term planning strategy so that as the economy goes up and down, we have a steady plan going with these three functions of operations so that we can always afford. Things are done according to schedule with oversight by JCA to make sure that, we're not just spending because we have to. He actually evaluates these things. But I just wanted to let you know that we now have these three funds functioning according to plan, and it's really a nice thing to see that these are now no longer subject to the whims of the economy. So anyway, the first internal service fund is the IT fund, and that would be Ben's.
Community Council, a lot of this stuff is, kind of keeps the engine running. It's kind of boring. It's not really customer-facing. We're going to continue the use of contracted network services. We've been very successful with that over the past 3 or 4 years. We did increase our restricted ending fund balance for the replacement schedule by $15,000 with the anticipation of when a new finance director comes on, he or she may want to re-look at our current financial software. So trying to sock some more money away for that when it makes sense to either go away from or upgrade our current system. 2016, we are currently in the process of upgrading some servers which are reaching end of life. Those are pretty heavy ones that a lot of our information's on, so that's going to be a weekend work kind of thing in November. We did a light release of VPN for select user groups. That's basically the ability for people to log in from not just within this office, with the anticipation of giving that to folks that are a little bit more technically savvy, having them work out the bugs so when we deploy it to field folks, we'll already be able to anticipate their questions. So we'll continue with that release next year. And a release of Office 2013, it was time to upgrade, so some people are happy, but some people aren't, as they have to learn new things with anything. 2017 is really about, updating our infrastructure. The one that I didn't include on here that you might all care about is we're looking at refreshing our website. I think that will be a huge customer service impacting schedule or impacting idea that we're going to probably get a mobile app. We've had the, I think for about 5 years we've had the website, so it's time to look at it. And our current vendor Civic Plus seems to work, and they've been working with us to look at what options we can do to sort of refresh that to make it a little bit more customer service friendly.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Councilmember Camp.
Okay. So, public records, does that fall under this?
It does not.
It does not?
No.
That would fall under?
That's under administration, and we do not have a slide on that.
That's fine. Yeah. I just was curious.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And we've started the Civic Plus upgrade, right?
We've talked to them just to initially get paid, what can you give us, and they kind of gave us good, better, best options, and we're currently looking at those, and we look to roll that out next year once the budget's approved.
Perfect. So I just wanted council to know that we've started that process. I think about 3 weeks ago I signed something to get that process going. So, okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson.
Thanks. Next is fleet equipment. And that is Mr. Chenka or Brad. Oh, that is our board director. Sorry.
Thank you. Please. And equipment maintenance is basically policy-driven, and we have a replacement schedule that lines out all the equipment and vehicles that the city has, and we just follow through that process to replace them as necessary. And then that's the majority of the money that we're spending next year, almost $1.3 million, and then the rest is equipment maintenance or tangible. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions about fleet and equipment? I see none. Thank you very much, Ms. Nelson.
Yeah. And same thing with facility management. The majority of this is the utilities for water, sewer, power, natural gas. There is garbage is included in this, but if we go proceed with the changing of the garbage contract, that will actually be we won't pay for that anymore, and so that'd be about $20,000 or so that would come out of that. Street lighting is a big one, and then repairs and maintenance on the existing campus facilities. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions on facilities? Okay, I see none.
Okay, that's all we have on the individual departments and the general operating budget as a whole. Next week, we're going to have, tonight we're having the first reading of the property tax levy ordinance. Then next week we'll have the second reading and I'm hoping adoption of the property tax ordinance. Then also next week we're going to do a presentation on the utility funds, the capital project funds, and the special revenue funds. And that'll be the second and last presentation from staff on the preliminary budget unless council asks for more. If there's more information or if you're feeling, not feeling warm and fuzzy about stuff or want specific discussions after next week, let me know. Super happy to schedule anything, whatever you want, because I want you to feel good about the budget. Also, next week we'll have the first public hearing on the budget. Then in November we'll have the second public hearing on the budget. And then on our two meetings in December we'll have the first and second reading of the budget ordinance. So that's our tentative schedule. The big deal is that property tax has to be adopted by the end of November. Well, as we file with the county by the end of November. And the budget has to be adopted by the end of the calendar year, December 31st. Those are the two looming deadlines. But the rest of this is just what we've tentatively planned. Of course, as council sees fit, we can change it around.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Dan, I want to thank you for your incredible job. Seems like year after year, you and the staff all come together and present a beautiful budget to this council. And so I really appreciate all your work. Really like the looks of this budget, Mayor.
Thank you.
Judge, I want to thank you for your work in the municipal court and the changes that you mentioned and the way things are being handled. I hear nothing but good things about what you're doing, so thank you for that. And Dave, with your community development, obviously you had a huge workload, Dave, and so with the amount of planning department permits and everything that's coming in, I appreciate your work and all that. Thank you for that. And Chief, I appreciate your leadership and for the department. I told you that before, but I really do appreciate that. And also, I appreciate you implementing the body cameras and being one of the first departments around here to pursue that. And so I think it's great. And then, Mike, I appreciate your work. The parks always look excellent, and I know you are super busy, and so and I know that you've been understaffed, and so with the position that we're creating, I think that's going to be a good help for you. And then Ben and Brad, thank you for all that you do and your departments. So thank you.
Thank you. And I, Councilmember Hanford did a great job of hitting everything, and I do also thank everybody for all the work that you did. Staff, I asked you to bring forward a status quo budget that we could go ahead and build on. You did just that, and I'm excited about this budget and about looking forward to next year. So thank you all very much, Gene. Chief, both of you, thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on to, actually, before we move on to new business item number two, I forgot that we had an ordinance in the consent agenda, and that needs to be read in, so Ms. Smoot will read that in.
Thank you. Approved through the consent agenda was ordinance number 016-2016, extending for an additional six-month period interim zoning adopted May 3rd, 2016 under ordinance number 003-2016, formally expressing the City Council's acknowledgement and intent regarding the continued designation of the East Monroe area as limited open space following the Growth Management Hearing Board's decision in CPS GMHB case number 14-3-006 little c, adopting findings, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Thank you. All right, Councilmember Gamble.
The only question I forgot to ask when Brad, you know, as I'm looking at also the first reading that we're going to be looking at is that one of the things that we had, you know, I see the three positions, and those were the areas that we were looking for after we went to Finance Committee and came back to General. So also the other thing that we said was an area of focus for the budget was the maintenance, the past, you know, due maintenance. And I'm trying to find in the budget here where that is showing up. Yeah.
So,
are you talking about transportation?
Correct.
Yeah, the general fund is transferring out on page 21 of the preliminary budget. The general fund is transferring out $172,892, so $173,000, to the street CIP fund for transportation improvements.
And that's for the
capital maintenance that we were
talking about, because I did. So that's in the presentation here, but it doesn't really call it out in the motion or the first reading that we're going to go through. Just the positions. That's all. Unless I'm reading it wrong, let me go look.
It's a line item, but it is one of the. If you adopt the budget on the fund level, there is no. I don't think any of the slides called it out.
So it's just a line item in the budget, but it wasn't in the slides. So that's probably why I missed it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the hard things. Like, I'm looking at the words that are up there, and there are times I'd like to, you know, add more, but that at some point you can.
Yeah, I guess the piece, though, you know, I get it. I guess the piece, though, that I was looking at is that when we were looking at the bank capacity, and we had talked about, you know, the addition, I mean, we talk about the future FTEs, you know, and the reason we were talking about the reason for and why we were doing it, but then also was the, you know, that basically we had this deferred maintenance, you know, in place, and that's one of the other reasons why we're looking to tap into that bank capacity is to have that additional money that you know that you've identified as a line item in the budget. I just would like to see it somewhere in that it's called out, because that was strategic. That wasn't, you know, just a line item in a budget. In my mind, way of thinking, that that's actually something that we're being intentional about, is that we have a heck of a lot more that deferred maintenance than just the $167,000, that's for sure. I think Brad's got it somewhere north of $10 million or something like that, but it's a step in the right direction. That's all.
Yeah, and you know, on that count, when we talked about this in the first quarter of the year, one of the things that I was faced with looking at was, you know, how much, if we took the entirety of banked capacity, then property taxes would go up pretty substantially. If, on the other hand, the use of the bank capacity is set at a level that is below, so we've got a levy that's sunsetting for next year, and so this is using a portion of the levy that's sunsetting for next year. As long as I would expect that the average household will still see a savings, even though we're using a portion of bank capacity. So that's what you're looking at. That's how I arrived at the number that you see before you today, is not wanting to have banked capacity increased so that people would be paying more in property taxes next year than they are this year.
No, I totally get that. That makes a ton of sense. I'm just thinking more from a marketing perspective.
Okay.
We haven't, I mean, that's something that we were, you know, when we made the motion, you know, or, you know, basically the consensus direction, it was, hey, X amount percent of the money to go towards funding of positions, and obviously we had more than three positions that were identified, but these were the ones that staff, you guys have deemed as most important. But then we also said, we also want to see something in the budget that is allocated toward the deferred maintenance so that we're making that first step.
Right.
That's all I'm saying, is that I would like to see, you know, it somewhere called out than just the, you know,
the line item.
The line item.
Understood.
So that when, you know, we're looking at it as a proposed ordinance, the ordinance is spelling out, you know, the direction that was, you know, that was given, mm-hmm. you know, in the three positions, but we don't put anything in here about our intentions around making that first step on deferred maintenance, because that's important to me. And when we talked about it in the first quarter, it was pretty important to most everybody, you know, up here, that we all understand and realize that that is something that we have to deal with going forward.
Okay. And the next agenda item says in there, and to provide additional funding for capital projects, so we just call out how much money that is and what those projects are. Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
Diane, do you want to take new business item number two?
Sure. This is the first reading of the property tax levy ordinance. Council needs to adopt an ordinance in order for us to collect any property tax at all, or else we don't get to collect anything. This particular ordinance does not use the 1% allowable by law, but it does use $484,312 of bank capacity, which leaves you with about $650,000 of bank capacity available still. And I think we've discussed what the money is intended for, but my request is to ask council to make a motion to accept the first reading of this property tax ordinance.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I want to, thank you for this. I mean, I know there's a lot of effort that has gone into this, and I really appreciate the process that we've gone through. Thank you, Mayor, for, you know, us really looking at this at the first quarter of the year, you know, looking at it, what are all of us from an appetite, why, you know, what do we want to take on, what do we feel like, you know, our constituents are saying that they can afford, and where we're at in the recovery from just an economic perspective. And I just think a lot of thought's gone into this. And you know, very good. And you know, the double bonus is that it really won't see an increase because of the, you know, levies, as you pointed out. So I will absolutely move to accept this first reading ordinance number 017-2016, fixing the amount of taxes to be levied by the city for the calendar year 2017.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen, to accept as first reading ordinance number 017-2016, fixing the amount of taxes to be levied by the city for the calendar year 2017. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Councilmember Gamble.
Just that, you know, previous discussion that we had, if we could call that out a little bit when it comes back for second reading, that'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right.
Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, I've already read the motion in. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda this evening is new business item number 3. This is AB 16136, discussion municipal campus planning. Okay, Mr. Fowler.
Thank you.
Thank you. The computer was slow.
Over the past long while, we've looked at various places to place the municipal campus, you know, by where Walmart is and down here and other places around town. In 2008, we had a campus study done that had a 5 to 7 phase project that would redo the campus here. We've done phase one, which was the development of the Public Works Park building over on the other side of our parking lot, and then started on phase two, which was the decant facility, the water sales place, and the fueling station. Then we've talked to the council about various other things, partnering with other agencies, having a campus here downtown across the street, things like that. We've looked at all that information and have our preferred alternative, the mayor and the staff, is to stay on this piece of property, basically because the overall project cost is lower, and also not to partner with any other agencies. Main reason for that is the increased cost and then the funding mechanisms of the different agencies compared to ours. It's really hard to get a package together without having the city front a lot of costs that would be paid back over time, but we have to front all that money to start with. And we also own this property, which cuts down the costs. We don't have to do that, and we also don't have to worry about taking somebody else off of some property if we were to do a municipal campus in some other place. So our desire is to have a motion from the City Council, after I answer any questions that you may have, to maintain the municipal campus at this current location, and then to bring forth a bond authorization ordinance that would include funding of the public works shop to be built out back in the parking lot back there. And the finance director mentioned that to you, I think last meeting or the meeting before that, about we're refunding some water and sewer bonds, and we would expand that issue to include the additional money for the public works shop. If there's any questions,
answer them. Thank you. And before I get to Councilmember Hanford and anybody else with questions or comments, what has brought this forward is this, is that first I took a tour of the facility here. The facility is in need of significant remodel or a demo and a rebuild here. And just for example, there were 3 instances, August and September. So between August and September, I think there were 3 instances where the sewer backed up into the offices here. We also have a lot of places where there are leaks and things like that. And I got to take a walk up in the crawl space up here. The wiring and everything up there is really fascinating to look at. At the end of the day, we are not only having issues with maintenance of the existing facility, but we're also having issues with space, just sheer space, like the 3 FTEs that we're looking at right now. We're trying to figure out exactly where they're going to be positioned. We've got directors right now that are up in front, up along these windows, and staff that are in the back here right now, and we really need to have the directors and the management closer to their staff and whatnot. So there's a real need to demo this building, rebuild, or significantly refurbish this building. The plan that a council adopted some time ago had phases to improve everything here at this campus, and some of that work started and then sort of came to a pause. The staff came forward as they took me on a tour of the facility back in late August, early September. We talked about how the continuation of the current phase we're in, phase 2, I think it is, would be to build this public workshop, and the idea of using bonds, as Mr. Feilberg had pointed out in his presentation, and I supported doing that. And then started thinking through what all this meant from a policy perspective, before we start putting more money into the land that we're at right now, that we're sitting in right now, I want to make certain that I've got council's direction that yes, we're going to remain here, because you're looking at a few million dollar improvement just with what Mr. Feilberg talked about right now, and I hesitate to want to take out a loan and build that facility if the council really wants to relocate what we're doing here today to the downtown or across the street or something like that. And in my review of the numbers and everything, you know, you're talking, was it $20-25 million to relocate in the downtown versus about $12 million, was it, to rebuild where we are right now, $12-15 million?
$12-15 million, depending on exactly what we do.
Depending on exactly what we do. And the cost is lower if we stay here. And I think that where we are located today is able to serve the public. Would it be nice to be located directly adjacent to the downtown or in the downtown? Yes. But I have to look at the numbers, and I have to look at the state of the facility that we're sitting in today. The other part of the equation is that when I started serving as mayor, I started going to the meetings with the community college and also with the school district. It sounded like a really great idea to co-locate. One of the things that became clear is that our funding sources are all different. We all have different bodies, you know, different governing bodies. You've got a school board versus a council versus, I think, the community college is the state legislature or something. And while there's good synergy and good opportunity for co-location, there were also a lot of complexities with making something happen all at once. And again, what I'm sitting in right now, really, we need to move into a different facility or rebuild or something. So I'm really concerned about our ability to deliver on schedule and within budget if we relocate or if we really tie ourselves to another entity to make that happen. One of the things that is being proposed to you tonight is just to move to say that, yes, we're going to continue to be here. It wouldn't preclude the ability for us to partner or for us to build a new facility, maybe larger than we need, and have a tenant come in, like the school district, to use our offices for, you know, a 5 to 10 year period of time until we grow into the space. It certainly doesn't negate the opportunity to continue to have that conversation, if nothing else. But what it would do is that it would be saying here tonight or next week that, yes, you would like us to go ahead and continue investing where we are today. And that's what I'm asking for direction is, before we bring the bond forward to you for consideration, is this where the council would like to remain? That's the extent of what I have. Gene, Chief, do you have anything to add? You see this on a day-to-day basis. I'm in and out.
No, I think that pretty well covers it. Definitely open for questions.
All right. So I had Councilmember Hanford first. I don't know who came in next. Sorry. Okay, Scarborough and then Camp. Thank you very much. All right, Councilmember Hanford.
I'm going to make the motion, but then have some questions and comments. So I'll move to maintain the municipal campus on the current site and bring forth the bond authorization to proceed with phase two redevelopment, including construction of a building to house the functions performed by buildings A, B, C, D, E, and F in the 2008 campus plan.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Hanford, did you want to speak to the motion?
Yeah, so this all makes sense. I still strongly believe we should partner with at least the Monroe School District in possibly the fashion that you mentioned, where we build offices more than what we need, enough to house them for 5 to 10 years, however that looks, but something like that. I think if we're going to do this, let's do it right, and I think there's a higher chance of the bond passing if it's more collaborative. I think it's scored just like when we're scoring grants for the community fund. if there's collaboration, the grants score higher, mm-hmm. and there's a better chance of getting funding. So I think it's the same way with the public with this. If they can see that we're working with the school district and going to try and fix more than one problem, I think there's a good chance for that. My preference would be the downtown, but when it's that $8 million difference, we could sink $1 million into improvements downtown with parks or something else, mm-hmm. And still have an effect there. So I'm in favor of this, but just to clarify, I do think we should work with the school district, and I do think we should still plan on improvements downtown in some fashion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilor Scarborough.
You guy in the block, I understand that in 2008 you adopted this campus plan that included building a new city hall.
That's correct.
Okay. And doing that still is based on the public looking for a bond.
The campus plan didn't talk necessarily about funding. At the staff level, we've looked at that. That's one possibility. There's several options of funding it, but that's certainly one fund.
Where do we think that money is going to come from?
I'll yield to Diane.
Generally, to finance municipal campuses, you go to GO bonds, and then you can pay them back with either REIT money or property tax money, excess levy, or, if you cut back in operations, you can use some of your operational sales tax money.
Okay, so if we're going to build it, it sounds to me like we're going to have to ask the public for a tax increase of some kind to get the money to come into some pot to put it into a pot to pay for the building. With that said, I'm in agreement with Hanford that we would be more likely to get a consensus from the public to take more of their money if it was in conjunction with the school district to get out of their 1905 or 1910 building, whatever it is. Of course, it probably won't be able to tear it down with a wrecking ball, but having been in the district office many years, starting something like 20-some years ago, knowing it's not changed a great deal since I even retired, I think the public would probably, that may be the only way I think the school district might get a new building and the city hall, I guess. So I'm in concurrence with Mr. Hammond on that. But we know we need a new building here, and that's not the way we get it. I can understand that, but I think we'd be better served and better off to work with the school district to get a building.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I agree with everything I've heard so far. Disappointed that we couldn't have it closer to downtown, but I understand the significance of the money issue, plus the $1 million spent on some feature downtown would be helpful. The only concern I really have is more procedural. We're missing two council members tonight. I would feel better if we could wait until next week. If there's no time for criticality on this, or is it?
There is. We have the bond ordinance coming November 1st to council.
Okay, so we really need to have something.
First reading, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, this is for first reading. The bond, just to clarify that's only our schedule, right? Is there an external schedule that's driving the bond for November 1st?
Well, yeah, it's market driven because I have the whole underwriter schedule here.
Okay.
When he in order to remain bank qualified, how many days we have to close within the two refunding versus the new NM?
If I could interject, I think this, my question is now moot. If this is just the first reading, as long as everybody else has an opportunity to weigh in on it, I don't think there's going to be any significant.
This isn't a reading, difference. this is a motion.
So this actually goes into effect.
Previous one.
Sorry, So this is a motion, and
then I take back what I said about it being moved.
Okay.
I feel better if we could. I mean, we can go ahead with the vote if you really want, but and if there is a time constraint.
I don't think it's carved in stone. A lot of it has to tie into with the market, but the market doesn't seem to be moving very much right now. So I'm thinking we could probably be flexible. It's just that right now the underwriters are working on all the official statements, and they kind of need to know which way we're going to go so they know what to make the documents up.
Well, then I will leave it to the motion maker and the second. If you guys want to move it out a week, it would make me happy, but it's up to you.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, do we have a full council next week?
No.
So that might be it.
I'll be absent.
Okay. And when's the next time that we'll have a full council?
25th.
Of October? Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything further, Councilmember Kemp?
No, thank you.
All right. Councilmember Gamble.
So a couple questions. Actually, just to speak directly to that, it talks about to bring forth a bond authorization to proceed with phase two. So we would be bringing back that authorization to vote on, correct?
Yep.
So you would still have the opportunity to vote on that. So we're just directing to bring that back. So that might be just about the same as a first reading or second reading from that standpoint.
Okay.
The other questions that I had is, I know when we reviewed this previously this year, we looked at pieces of property and we were looking at size, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to recall all of this stuff, but if I remember right, there was really no place that could take in town all the different properties that we're looking at, all the operations that we actually were going to have to maintain a presence here at this current location to a certain degree or some facet, and if I remember right, it was going to be the public work and that portion, correct?
You're correct.
Right, so
that operation really didn't fit well downtown either. That was the other component.
Right, because of ingress and egress of vehicles and all that kind of stuff. So really, if I'm looking at this the right way, I mean, what we're asking is that, look, we know that is an integral piece that needs to be. It's going to help the campus, but at the same time, it still puts us in the position, as the mayor was stating, that, look, if we want to accomplish all this stuff of a partnership with the school district, which I am a proponent of, you guys all know that, that it doesn't preclude us from doing that. Basically, all we're doing is moving forward with the portion of the build that, whether we decided to move to go downtown anyway, we're going to have to maintain here. Correct? I don't see where the issue is then. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I appreciate this coming back and through the initial conversations, I think I cited more keeping it here, primarily for a lot of the reasons that Councilmember Gamble just brought up, as far as the logistics and our operations being going to have to be spread out regardless. Certainly being downtown had some appeal to it, but we have this property, essentially own it. Let's make it better and grow up from there. And really, we kind of. Technically, we are downtown. I mean, we're not on Main and Lewis. And I think as we continue to grow our downtown, what we think of downtown is going to grow to us anyway. So, at least that's kind of how I envision it anyway. So I like this. And then, just being able to create a space that, one, we can grow into, but is big enough or compatible enough that we can grow into, but in the meantime, we can partner with other organizations, school district, college, or whomever, and go from there. And we're having similar conversations with the health district right now. So I like this campus plan and keeping us down here. So thank you.
And to clarify, Councilmember Gamble brought up a good point that I hadn't thought of, and that was the point that there were discussions about how you might maintain the public works facility here and locate the administration somewhere else. The reason why this is important to me is from a management perspective, when you have staff at different buildings, sometimes things get siloed in terms of your culture. To then have staff on different properties throughout the city, I'm concerned about how culture and how togetherness and unity is when you have people not just in different buildings, but you know, physically separated throughout the city. I, as mayor, when I come in, I interact a lot with the administrative staff. I interact some with the park staff, and I bring donuts in and things like that, so that I at least can go over and see people and see how things are going and whatnot. And I interact some with the police staff, but most of my interaction is with admin staff, and it's because I'm physically here. One of my concerns about having multiple locations is that whether it is the city administrator, the chief, directors, the mayor, the council, by having different facilities located around town, it makes it a little bit harder to have that unity, to have that that one voice, and for the leadership to be able to walk around and see how things are going in different units, and not be that mayor that you see in the papers but you never actually interact with, that kind of stuff. Certainly the motion, the way that it's written right now, it's giving us direction. We bring forward the bond, what Councilmember Gamble brought up, and thank you for reminding me of that. There's nothing that would preclude the council from doing exactly that, which is having the administrative building somewhere else in the future. But for me, it gives me comfort to know that at least right now, the direction would be to let's try to stay on one campus. Let's try to keep everything here, and it makes me feel more comfortable moving forward with the redevelopment of a few million dollar project, knowing that we've made at least some commitment to be here today. So that's why my initial instinct on this was to get buy-in from the council before bringing forward an ordinance, or rather the bond authorization material. So thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, and I guess that's the piece that I was trying to draw out, is that the commitment to be here, regardless if we chose to go, because that policy decision, regardless if we chose to move downtown or go to a different location, from what I understood the last time that we researched this, is that there was a portion that was going to have to stay here. There's no way that we could move that. So I get what you're saying. I'm not seeing it as mutually exclusive, that, or I see them as mutually exclusive, yep. Right? One, us making this commitment today doesn't stop us from the other.
Correct.
The other thing that I would say is that, you know, as far as direction is concerned, is that I think I hear loud and clear, and you know, from the last time we did as well, is that we very much do want to partner with the school district. I see Dr. Smith is here today, but actually, I'm assuming that's why you're here tonight, that you're here and very much interested in that, as well. So. That's what I'm hearing is clear direction as well. So
okay. All right. Thank you very much. Well, we have a motion on the table. Is there any more discussion on the motion? Okay. The motion is the requested action as written on Agenda Bill 16-136. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, next item on the agenda is council member reports. We don't have one for the Legislative Affairs Committee. We don't have CT tonight. So how much help for it? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Wasn't actually physically able to attend, but I did call into the meeting today, and it was great conversation. First of all, our health officer, Dr. Gary Goldbaum, announced a few weeks ago, probably saw it in the paper, his retirement. So he will be retiring from his position March 2017. Of course, now starts the process of looking for a new health officer for the county. A few points that had a quality discussion on. Jeff Getchell proposed an environmental fee increase of 1.8%, which the board was intrigued by, and it'll be set up for a public hearing. Some more information to come on that. In 2015, it was noted that the Rucker Building, so the Health District's primary administrative offices are in Everett, had a pretty substantial flood in the building, and it resulted in staff kind of looking at the situation and saying you can get an evaluation on the building, and they realized that they've got a building that evaluates at about $8 million, and the building has about $4 million in repairs that needs to happen, and you know they don't occupy a whole lot of it apparently, and so they're actually brought it to the board to look for direction as to, you know, what should we do? Do we consolidate? Do we lease out? Do we sell? So forth like that. And, you know, there's a lot of questions regards that all the cities in Snohomish County actually essentially own a piece of that building. So you, Council Mayor Jean might be hearing from Health District relatively soon on trying to get a feel for, you know, what our thoughts are on that. And I sent you an email this afternoon. So just trying to get an idea of what our ownership is on that building and, you know, what we would want essentially if it did come to the Health District deciding to sell that building. The majority of the conversation was a follow-up from last month. You may recall that we had a discussion on our Ruckel House evaluation, our presentation. That was the organization that was evaluating the Health District and providing insight and direction on where to take it. And I believe I mentioned that, you know, we didn't have a quorum at that meeting, and there were many of us that were disappointed, not very frustrated. And it came clear at that meeting that governance was an issue, and so you know, we were kind of faced with the option of, do we just go ahead and move forward and move the Health District operations into the county, or do we try to work out our issues and fix what we have? And a small committee was formed and determined that we really want to work on our governance protocol, and so the committee actually recommended going back to our old form of governance, where we had an executive committee, policy committee, and administrative committee. And you know, so the three smaller groups kind of taking a big chunk of the work and then bringing it to the full board, and that appears to that's where we're going to go with the Health District. So we're still going to have a board. The representation is still going to be there, but you know, it may require board members being, you know, attending two meetings, but having much more efficient meetings at that point. So other than that, you know, that was, like I said, that took up the majority of the conversation. The conversation was much more focused and light with that governance and positive moving forward. So next month we'll see. We'll kind of go from there. They briefly brought up the $2 per capita with the Ruckel House evaluation. That kind of took a little bit of a backseat, but obviously being in budget season, they're still exploring those funds, and a few cities have stepped forward saying, yes, we'll do it. Others have not responded or one way or another. So that's it.
And just, you know, to settle questions on that, we don't have any funds in the budget for that, and that's certainly a council prerogative, but I didn't put money into that. Okay. Councilmember Camp, Snohomish County Tomorrow, Steering Committee.
No report.
Okay. Let's go ahead and go on down the line. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, great week in the city of Monroe last week, you know, being the big game of the week featured on King 5. I think everybody got to see that. It's, you know, when we have those events and we're able to showcase kind of the culture that is here, the tailgating. I know that, you know, Chrissy and then, you know, at King 5, they didn't even run a poll. They just said, you know, hey, we realize we haven't been there. We wanted to come. We don't have time to do a poll because we just got back from New York, so we're coming to, you know, we're coming to Monroe. And it's cool. They just did a great job. John Lombardi and you know, and the team at the high school did a great job. And you sit there and you watch the game, which wasn't much of a game. We killed them. But I think we knew that was going to happen. But to see the youth football players on the sidelines running balls in, that sort of thing, you know, just to see that is fantastic. And what a lot of people didn't get to see was that the next day, you know, youth football plays on those same high school fields. And we had some of the varsity players at our youth football players doing the pep talks before the game and getting them all riled up. So just that connection, it was just really neat to see, and you know, makes me thankful for living where I live and the partnership that we have with our schools. So it was great. And then this week I got to go on a choir retreat. So instead of, you know, the football thing, head up to Camp Colloqua, I think, and we'll do the choir retreat up there. So that was fantastic. And then, you know, obviously Saturday was a great day as well. 12 years of frustration finally out the window. I'll just leave it at that because, you know. Well, you know what? You want me to gloat since it's been 12 years?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't? There was a game. There was a little game.
There's always a game.
No, but the chief and I have this one particular game we circle on the calendar every year.
That he
kind of rubs in and every right for 12 years straight.
I'm sorry, chief.
Finally, the frustration ended, but, you know, we weren't disrespectful this time.
1 out of 13 years.
That's right. We weren't disrespectful this time. We didn't dance on the O in the center of the field. We just spray painted a 7 next to it. That's right. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Lord, I can't top that one. Okay, maybe less involved in games. I attended the Downtown Association meeting last night. Very interesting, very good job the deputy chief did about explaining some of the your five-year plan, some of it, and some of the issues downtown with homeless using electrical conduit and everything. And it was very interesting. I'm hesitant to say anything about one of their plans. I don't know if they've announced it yet, but I have to because I'm so excited for it. They're going to have a tour of older homes or old homes in Monroe, something that I've attended at another city pretty much every year. And I've always wanted to see something like that in Monroe, and it's really exciting. I don't want to see anything else more about it, but November 12th is the date, and I really think it's going to be exciting. That was last night. This afternoon we had the chamber meeting, chamber lunch. It was very good. It was the first time I've been able to attend in quite a while. It was great to see a lot of old people, a lot of new members. It was really good. And the speech, the speaker was so exciting and so intense that they set off the fire alarm in the last 15 minutes. So I didn't hear how it ended, but it was a very good discussion on leadership. And that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, it was very exciting, the chamber meeting. It's not often you go to a meeting like that and alarms go off. So, on that last week, Leaderships in Homage County was our monthly leadership day, and it was actually really kind of relevant to what we're doing here. It was about cultural arts and tourism, and spent half the day discussing the arts and actually ag tourism, and a lot of the stuff around the arts. Yeah, it was just interesting to hear all the speakers and go and think, wow, we're doing a lot of that here in Monroe. I mean, we just added the sculpture, or the sculpture's coming to downtown, and you know, we got the Wagner Performance Center, and we got an incredible high school drama club, and you know, it's just like all the stuff that they're talking countywide, we're doing a lot of that here. And then in the afternoon was focused on tourism, and Amy Spain came and spoke, as well as a few representatives from primarily Marysville and Everett, regards to tourism that they're doing in their areas. And you know, for the most part, a lot of this is coming up like it's new. And you know, again, sitting there talking about, you know, listening to the speakers and realizing we're already doing a lot of this, and we're just, you know, granted it's ramped up in the last few years, but I mean, we're doing so much of this, and you see Amy Spain's presentation and a lot of the pamphlets and information that she's got up on her presentation slides and in her paper. Monroe's right there on the cover, whether it be Lake Tai and the wakeboards, the triathlons, you know, even the smokestack and the swifts. I mean, we're right there, front page of the county tourism that goes all over. So it was just really cool, very nice to see and hear Monroe being talked about quite a bit throughout the presentation as well. Last thing, this Thursday, East County Job Fair is going on at the Boys and Girls Club, and so any job seekers out there, certainly great place to attend. The Chamber's done an awesome job of working with WorkSource to put that together. They've got 50 employers scheduled to be there at the club, set up in the gym, and these are employers that are part of the requirements to be in there is that they have to have at least 3 positions available within the next 3 months, and so these are employers that are ready to hire, in other words. So Thursday 10 to 2.
And is this the job fair that grew out of that meeting, the tour of national factors?
Yes, it is, actually.
So, I mean, just so everybody understands, this is something that grew out of our tour at Natural Factors, where a couple people brought up the idea of a job fair. So that's awesome. Thank you.
Definitely.
All right, anything else?
Good.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, a couple things. Just Dr. Smith is here. I just wanted to commend, since we talked about Lombardi, I also wanted to commend Brett Willey, principal at the middle school, for following up. My daughter switched to Sky Valley Education Center, one of them, and he followed up with me and made sure everything was okay, and during the last several years that I've had girls there, he's been a great principal. For that. A couple things I attended last week, the Compass Health Luncheon in Everett, and spoke with their development director, and they're looking at remodeling their Compass Health building right on Main Street, right down the street here. So that was good to hear, and it's definitely a vital part of their organization. Then attended the Bloodworks Northwest dinner. There was an appreciation dinner for funders, and at the end of the night was handed their huge thank you. It was a huge card, like a brochure, pamphlet, and on the cover was Super Gavin, a Monroe resident, who Chris knows, and they've held several blood drives at Cascade. And so while the community has rallied around this person, and here he is on the cover of the Bloodworks Northwest pamphlet, so that was really cool. And then I didn't attend there was a dinner the week before, I couldn't make that one, but heard for today from fellow trustees that the Housing Hope Monroe Village is like the model, and it's well talked about around Snohomish County, and it's really having an impact. So just a lot of good stuff talking about Monroe. Really, I'm hearing about it all over the place, so it's very, very neat to see. I think that was it.
Thank you very much.
And just a reminder, I won't be here next week. My wife is having surgery, so I'll be staying home to take care. And then I had two questions.
Do we have a date for the, I know you talked about, Mike, you talked about November for the Wagner Swift ribbon cutting. Whenever we get one of those?
We do not have a date yet for the Wagner Swift dedication.
Okay. So if you could get that to us as soon as you have it. And then the date for the ribbon cutting for the flag raising at the memorial, do we have that yet?
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
November 11th, by chance?
November 5th.
November 5th, okay.
So keep your calendars open for Saturday, November 5th. It'll be about 11:30, I believe that's what it's being set at, 11:30. So late morning, early afternoon. It'll be about a 45-minute dedication ceremony. So it'll be obviously a good time.
Great, yeah. And the reason I asked for those is we've had a couple of event things come out, I think mainly from the chamber, but maybe from City Hall, I'm not sure, but like, hey, tonight's ribbon cutting, feel free to stop by if you can. And I've got way too much going on to do that. And these are things that I want to attend.
Yep.
So the farther out in advance we get dates, it's very much appreciated.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely can do that. Liz, can you send out, could somebody just send out a reminder to council as to the date and the time? Is that definite, the November 5th?
We'll check with Pam, as I mentioned in my report.
Sorry.
The only thing was, that very thing, that we met with members of the American Legion, so we've basically set up a whole schedule for the dedication ceremony, so then this will be forthcoming very shortly, and we'll get that out. And then, we haven't set a date yet with the artist on the sculpture, so as soon as we do, then we'll get that out.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, and if that was our fault, I'm sorry. We'll keep that in mind. And, I didn't know about the November 5th until Mike just mentioned it myself.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Sounds good. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report.
Thank you. We'll go out. Judge Rosano. You can stay there to address the council if you like.
Stay here? All right.
It's your choice.
I have a good voice. I don't have a mic.
I want to set the expectation that we all go.
No, sorry. Wow. I can see everyone. I want to start off by thanking everybody for the opportunities that I've had in the role as your municipal court judge. Thank you for your vision, your decision to open your own court. We've had a fantastic almost 2 years now, and just giving you a little idea of where we're going with the court, I've joined the rules committee with the administrative office of the courts and the therapeutic courts committee. I did both of those because I wanted to learn more before I started making changes and implementing anything with our court. One of the things that I became exposed to at the last judicial conference that I went to that I'm very interested in trying to integrate into the therapeutic courts is the veterans court. There is a growing understanding that our veterans face a very substantial and very different series of impacts. What they've done has impacted the way they interact, and I can give an example of, I had a young man who came in who was assigned to special forces, one of the special forces unit, I've already forgotten, I'm sorry, my mind is not 100% tonight, but he came in on a traffic infraction. He had been on highway, on Route 522, coming into town, and he got stopped for speeding, and he contested the ticket, and what he told me was, yes, I was driving the speed limit, and the other vehicles surrounded my vehicle, and I panicked. I accelerated to get away from the crowd and took the first exit, even though it wasn't my exit. And the average person may not understand that. I happen to benefit from, I have a nephew who's special forces, I have a niece who was 2.5 years in Iraq, I have a stepson who is right now at command school, and I've heard the story. I knew exactly what he was going through. And I said, thank you for your service, and let him go. I said, seek counseling, do what you need to do, don't do it again. to let them go, because there's a special effect of being surrounded by other vehicles on that individual because of what he's gone through. One of the things about therapeutic courts is not to say thank you very much and go, but to take that and say, okay, now we have the mechanisms to say, you've just appeared in front of us, we're going to take you into what you need. We're not going to just leave you on your own. Question is, for me, which of these courts is going to work the best in Monroe? Which of these courts are actually working? We all know about all the different programs we try to reach the situation. I'm all one that's really going to work. And now, the chief is addressing the issue of the homeless. I want to be helping him in that, but I also want to reach other people as well. And so that's one of the things that I'm trying to figure out how to do. And that's why I joined the committee, why I'm trying to gather the information. So giving you that information about what we're doing, that's my big goal. Otherwise, we're having a great time. We're running tons of people through the system, creating, I hope, a good rapport with a number of people to try to help them take that step out of the system. I've had two recently that have really, and we've talked about it in the written, but the one that I was really stunned about was the gal who wanted to stop traffic basically at the corner of the Old Owen and Highway 2 to let me know she was 62 days clean and sober that day. That really, you know, the difference in her physical appearance from the first time I met her is phenomenal, and I hope she succeeds. But that's it. You know, that's where we're at. I'm going to sit down because otherwise nobody's going to come to me.
Any questions for Judge Rosano?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Worthen?
Okay.
Any questions for HR, IT? None? Okay. Mr. Farrell?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Any questions for Mike? All right. Finance. Ms. Wilson? Questions? All right. Mr. Osaki?
We'll just go 4-for-4 on this firm. I have nothing tonight.
You have nothing. And Mr. Feilberger?
Thank you for giving me all your time. I have nothing tonight.
All right, thank you. Chief.
You know what you say.
Okay, before we come up here, do you have any questions for staff?
All right.
So for me, I had a busy Thursday, and one of the things I did was interviewed folks from the Parks Advisory Board, and I've just been very busy at work because it's budget season at the county. So I'm remembering that stuff right now and not everything I did last week. So, Gene.
I'm ready for the draft agenda for real.
There you go.
Draft agenda, October 18th, 2016. Public hearing, 2017, first reading. Under announcements and presentations, we have the proclamation Red Ribbon Week, and then confirmation of Civil Services Commission appointment. We have the consent agenda under new business. We have the 2017 budget presentation regarding utility and CIP funds. We'll be discussing the two-year at-large position and converting that to a four-year position. It'll be first reading. And then authorize mayor to sign amendment number 1, property transfer agreement to Snohomish County Fire Protection District number 7. And then under final action, we'll be setting 2017 property tax levy. Additions or deletions? Any additions or deletions on the long range?
Councilmember Gamble.
I'm going to be out of town on business on the 15th of November.
Way to go to page 2 of the extended agenda.
Yeah.
We have a TBDB meeting.
Yep. I can do that. Minnesota.
Nebraska.
Anything else for the extended agenda? Oh, Councilmember Rasmussen, sorry.
Thank you. Being said we're going that far out, November 15th, I won't be, I'll be here, but I'll be late, so I don't believe I'll be in attendance for the TBDB meeting, and then probably about a half hour, 45 minutes late to the business meeting.
Do you still want the P4 committee at 6 o'clock if, since TBDB is at 6:30? Something to think about.
Yeah, it'll probably get moved or if not canceled, but I'll leave that to the chair.
Okay. Councilmember Press. Mr. Pressel.
I just wanted to close the loop on one issue or question that Councilmember had. Camp had a couple weeks ago in regards to the stormwater facility at Lake Ty. I understand you talked to Director Feilberg. Did you guys get that worked out, or is that still a subject that we need to get on here?
Do we need to discuss it any further? As far as I know, you've said it's a 2018 issue.
It's scheduled for 2018.
Okay, so that's really all I was concerned. Just for the other members, Mr. Feilberg and I discussed the BIOS well, and it's now it's planned or it's going to be constructed, or what exactly is going to happen in 2018?
It will be rebuilt in 2018.
All right.
Yeah.
That's essentially what I was looking for. So that takes care of one.
Thank you.
Do we have any further business? Okay, there's no other business. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Abstentions or what?
We're adjourned.